Fantasy Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to move on to something else in just a second, but we got so caught up with our quarter century discussion, which apparently we're going to pick back up later in the show. I didn't get the opportunity to tell you that Christian Yelich hit his first ever walk-off and his first walk-off home run, and it was a grand slam in extra innings. And I thought that was really cool. Now I take you to the saga of Steven Kolek. Steven Kolek left in the first inning yesterday, having thrown 38 pitches and given up 6 runs. He went on to get the win. He became the first pitcher to earn a win after allowing at least 6 runs in the first inning since Mark Burley did so for the White Sox in 2006. You want to take it a step further?
Do it.
He was the first pitcher to give up at least 6 earned runs in the first inning and win the game since Bartolo Colon for Cleveland in 1999.
That is what I'm talking about, dude.
Now, hopefully you're all caught up. All right. So this has a couple of different facets to it. We're going to start with tennis. We're going to move to the stars and then probably encompass a whole lot of other stuff. Is sports just genuinely more enjoyable when you have someone to root against? So I take you to tennis player Jacob Mensik. That's right. You probably already knew I was talking about Mensik. I'm sure everyone we're listening is really entrenched in the French Open, and that is phenomenal. So Mensik was up against the crowd favorite, Alexander Mueller. And people were booing Mensik and stuff, even though they might not have been against him to start, because that wasn't their guy. And at one point in the third set, he started to use his hand and his racket a little bit to act like he was conducting all of the people and their boos, which I love.
Is he playing puppet master a little bit?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, I got y'all eating out of the palm of my hand right now.
And I think that makes me want to boo him even more. It's like, Alec, we've talked about whenever I would go to a wrestling event in the late 90s and early 2000s, I would always bring a sign that said, please rip on my local sports team, because that was like the laziest go-to, and I liked it. And so,
yeah, but at least he's not the Cowboys, am I right? Everybody's
like, and that's especially what you would get in the late 90s and early 2000s. They would be like, what he did to me is criminal, but I guess you guys love criminals around here. And it was like, and so, like, that just makes it more fun. Like, if you're just at a nondescript French Open match that you're like, I don't really have a rooting interest, and a couple people boo this guy, and he starts conducting them, and I'm like, all right, I want that guy to lose now.
Oh, you do want him to lose.
I want that guy to win now. Okay. But most people, I'm sure they would want that person to lose now. I have clearly turned against Nugent Hopkins. I had nothing against him. Going into this, I'm sure he's a great human being, but I want him to fail
so bad
at hockey now, because he's been so agitating in this series. From the 903, they said, I like rooting against Angel Reese. So our question is, whether it's tennis, hockey, or whatever else, does sports inherently become more fun when you have somebody to root against?
Oh, man. So, and that, I think it does. If your team is winning.
Yeah.
Because if your team's losing to that person, you hate life. Like, everything they do, every time Draisaitl turns around and scores a goal and then slides into the glass and turns around and puts his arms out for his guys to come hug him or whatever, it irritates the crap out of me. I'm rooting against him, Kevin. I am rooting against Draisaitl, all right?
For sure.
And for the Stars at the same time. Guess what? It's difficult. It hurts because I'm sitting there watching this dude just destroy the team. T.O., you rooted against T.O. no matter what team. Anytime you saw T.O. playing, you were rooting against him. Unless he was on your fantasy team or if he was on your team. If he was on your team, you were like, you know what? I got a guy you're going to hate. Dion was one of those guys.
Does it bother you at all with Draisaitl that his name ends with a T and an L?
Yes. What is that even thing? What does it mean?
I don't know if that is a common spelling for people's last names that end in a T and an L. I just don't feel like I've seen it a lot.
From the 910, it creates fan participation. I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good approach to it, because This goes to what Brett Boone's telling his players, right? Telling the guys on the team. Pay attention to the game. Be engaged with what's going on with the game. Find a hatred for the pitcher. Go up to the batter's box with a little bit of hate in your soul, and maybe it's going to help you put one out of the park.
All right. So probably the best example I can give you of this.
Adolis a couple of years ago.
Houston. But see, I feel like that's a little different because I had a particular rooting interest for as well. So I'm going to take you back to a UFC event. It's where Holly Holm kicked Ronda Rousey's stupid head off her neck. We were at the Fox and the Hound in Richardson.
Oh my gosh, she killed a woman?
Rest in peace. And I jumped up and I was like, oh, in your effing face. And so many people were rooting for Rousey, and she is the worst. She was mean to Nate Wood up here. Did you know that, Alec?
Yeah, I've heard the story a few times now.
Yes. So she's just, and Nate is the nicest person in the world. And so
never met anybody nicer.
She's rude and a crybaby and a sore loser and all that. So to see her get knocked out by Holly Holm, I wasn't a Holly Holm fan, but then I became one in that instance. So with Adolis, it's different because I love the Rangers. I'll root for the Rangers, and it just makes me hate the Astros more. For some of these people I've noticed, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, LeBron, or whoever, it's not necessarily that you're rooting for who they're playing against. You're like, no, I'm just rooting against that person. And I bet a lot of people watch sports or maybe live their life like that.
Yeah, the real recent example is definitely the Astros bunch. The Correas, the Bregman, the Springer, and Altuve group.
A stupid jerk sitting in the stands in their NASA outfits.
Yeah, well, I didn't hate those guys so much. We got a great meme out of that one, and we get to use it forever until history's over.
It's my favorite.
But it's the Bregmans. The Bregman is really probably the worst. Like, Correa was just there and was part of it.
Yeah.
Bregman was like, no, screw you guys. That never happened. And also, I don't have to pay a price for this. And he's also kind of a jerk sometimes. He's very good. Very good.
And see, and that's the thing that I wonder if y'all think is key to this discussion.
All right.
Do they have to be at least very good or above level for your hatred to be warranted? Because who's like watching some journeyman who averages 8 points and you're like, ha ha, only 3 in this game, you loser? Like, that's probably not happening as much, right?
Is it Dylan Brooks? Who's the one that everybody hates right now?
I believe. Yeah.
So
yeah,
he's not that good, right? Like, he's not that good. So he's one, but you just kind of like watching him get beat by the best because of his own claim. Draymond is a different story, though.
Yeah.
Draymond's the kind of guy that there are times that I'm kind of pulling for him and other times that I'm just like, dude, you try to make it look like you're not hitting them, but it's the little kid that doesn't know.
Yeah.
His parents are literally watching.
Yeah.
And they keeps getting away with it too. That's the irritating part. But yeah, no, there's plenty of people like that.
So somebody said, Alec, that we should have named this the Aaron Rodgers segment.
Okay.
And I have terrible news for that person. Unless they really like just watching and rooting against Aaron Rodgers. What will Aaron Rodgers be doing week one of the NFL season? Not in the NFL, plus 550. Steelers roster as a quarterback, minus 1,000.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
So, in case you're still curious. All right, Alec, where do you fall on this?
I will say, I do think that, yes, it is fun, and I think it is necessary for sports watching to have a little bit of hatred there. But for me, it's always been wide-ranging. It doesn't have to be somebody who's good, because I'll tell you that a couple years ago, when he played for the Phoenix Suns, I can't even tell you where he is now, I hated Bismack Biyombo, and I can't tell it you why. I was just
you can't.
I was just actively rooting against him whenever the Mavericks played him. I think it was because that was when we were running really small ball, and we just had nothing to match up against any true centers. And he's what, like 7'6"? It feels like, compared to anybody we put on the floor, even though he's probably not even 7 foot himself. It's just that he was bigger than anybody we matched up with him. So it felt like he was otherworldly, but everybody knew he was not a good basketball player. So I just rooted against him anytime he would miss a shot. I'm like, ha ha.
You know what? I think I'm with you on a basketball player, although he has elevated status. So I like that you're like, don't tell me I can't pick on somebody mediocre. The person who it's become for me is Trae Young. Trae Young runs his mouth all the time. Is like, they should call the all snub team, the all Trae Young team. Get the hell out of here. You don't belong on an all-star team. Maybe once in a while you should. You're one of the worst shooters in the league. I know he's a good passer, and I get that, but he's a volume shooter. He just chucks the ball up there, and he's like, let's just see what happens. And so people are like, oh, wow, he averaged 27. Yeah, while shooting 40%.
If Dirk Nowitzki had won an NBA championship, not against the Miami Heat, it would have been amazing. It was that much sweeter because it was against Dwayne Wade.
I could see that.
And again, Dwayne Wade just showed up and was fouled all the time. Like, that's the reality. It's not like he was out there really, you know, being that guy. But it irritated the crap out of us because he kept accepting those free throws when he should have turned them down and said, that was not a free throw opportunity. That's not a foul.
Yeah.
He should have actually done that as a gentleman in the sport. But it was so much sweeter because we were rooting against – I wasn't rooting against LeBron as much, but whenever he did the whole coughing bit with Dwayne Wade, I was like, well, now you've just associated yourself with him.
Yeah.
So now this is
a mistake.
Yeah, this is an attack on you too, and that's what's going to happen. But it did make it sweeter when we won, knowing that Dirk was holding his hand up while Dwayne Wade was laying on the floor.
It makes the games more fun. I think mostly to watch on TV, because I'm assuming if you're like at a game, not always, but most of the time if you're at a game, you probably have a built-in rooting interest. But whenever you find a game that like, hey, it's just a sports day, or you're like, hey, I got nothing else to do and I'm going to lock in on this, it makes it more fun. And that's why I was really fascinated, Corey, because you brought up this story about Mensik, because I wonder if anyone in the crowd was watching and they're like, you know what? I like the guts on this kid. He's directing our booze. I'm going to root for him because everybody is against him.
Well, there are a couple of golfers that you like, you know, Kepka. I just think he's a punchable face guy, but people hate DeChambeau. People hate Rory. People hate Tiger. And they were actively rooting against Tiger.
Sure.
But then at the same time, because of the things that he was good at, they were like, you know what though? But who was it?
Nick Kyrgios, the tennis player.
That dude right there is a guy that I will root for. He's not the greatest, but he's very talented, and he is out there doing his bit.
It probably won't surprise you to know that that's who Mike gravitated towards in tennis.
It makes a lot of sense.
That dude is unhinged. Like, he loses a point, and he starts yelling at his parents and at his coach in the box. And he's like, what am I supposed to do?
I feel like that was how Mike played his life, a quarter mile at a time.
And they're like, I don't know, dude, just like, don't double fault. And so I am curious if that is something that the WNBA has working for it right now, because a lot of people have decided that they can only root for Caitlin Clark or only root for Angel Reese, which I don't necessarily think is the case, but it seems like
you can just root for the WNBA. Yeah,
yes, but that is something that could work in their favor, is if Angel Reese is the villain and Caitlin Clark is the hero, or you think those roles are reversed. That drives people to watch.
Play it up.
Yeah, when you had the Celtics against the Lakers, it wasn't just that they were the best. It was that you're like, God, I hate the Lakers.
You had two very identifiable characters one, that, and you got to pick a side on it. Play that up, man. And enjoy that kind of battle is going on and that you get to experience that.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, I'm absolutely with... And see, let's go back from the 2-4. Kevin talks so much trash about Trae Young, but the Mavs could use him. If he was strictly a real point guard and did not particularly shoot the ball.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're saying.
He's really, really terrible at shooting. For someone who was, people raved about him. Oh my God, he is unstoppable. He has no range. There's no range. And I'm like, I agree, for different reasons.
It's unlimited range.
Yeah.
Just limited is what you're saying.
Yeah. I was like, he could shoot from anywhere. I was like, no, you're right. He can. And most of the time, he misses. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day. Plus, my childhood is a lie. I'll tell you how next on The Fan. Oh.
Marchman swept it to Granlund. Harley Robertson in the slot. He scores! Jason Robertson! A power play goal! And a 1-1 game.
Let's celebrate the good times, although the Stars end up losing 4-1 to the Oilers in Game 4. And now trail the series 3-1. Game 5 will be tomorrow. Go ahead.
Kevin, I'll ask it later because I know this is Alex time. My bad.
Okay. I want to throw this out there real quick then from the 469. Hey, KNC, my girlfriend of over a year broke up with me this morning.
What up?
Thanks for making me laugh and helping me get through day one. Thank you for all you do. You never fully understand your impact on people's lives. It's taken a while, but I really think at times we do now because of messages like that. Also, you're better off without her.
Yeah, dude.
Who breaks up with someone in the morning?
Yeah, for real. That, what a terrible person she must be, for one.
She stay the night, and then she's like, all right, now I'm out.
Yeah, you're a catch, all right? Get back out there and go catch some more catches.
Yeah! I like it. Now,
her loss.
A segment that is always a catch. It's time for this.
What does this button do? Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. Plus, a big part of my childhood has just been discovered as a total lie.
Oh, no.
We're going to get to that here in just a little bit. This is seriously one of the wildest stories I've read in a long time, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. But I will warn you, it's going to be a grind, this segment. I woke up at like 4, and I could not go back to sleep.
Oh, no.
It was just one of those situations. I don't know why. It wasn't even like storming or anything. There was no loud noises. It was just one of those. I'm up. So this is happening, I guess. You know, I just kind of laid there in bed with my eyes closed, but I was not actually sleeping. It was weird. I don't know why. Not a lot going on lately. So it's just one of those weird moments. So this is going to be brought to you by the power of caffeine and the grace of God.
What do you think about when you can't go back to sleep? Like, do you just think, God, I can't sleep? Or do you start thinking about things that like then make it even tougher for you to sleep?
Yeah, because then I started thinking about, you know, like work today. And I started thinking, should I go get like a haircut today? Like I was literally like, okay, I'm up. I might as well start planning out my day. But I was like, I should probably try to get some more sleep so I can be a little bit more energetic today. And I was like, I'll just get another energy drink on the way in. Who cares? And that's exactly what I did. So yeah, I started thinking about my day and then I started thinking about stuff for the show. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not going back to bed. This stinks, but I did realize it's a great day. You know why it's a great day?
Because you get to work with us.
Oh, it's always a great day when that happens, which is Monday through Friday. But it's also a great day because I heard Choppy mention it during Crosstalk. If you go to the National Day Calendar, gentlemen, today is National Hamburger Day.
Oh,
it's a wonderful day. It's just amazing. One of the best foods on God's green earth.
I agree.
And because of that, the question of the day, what is the best burger you ever had and where was it from? 877-881-1053.
Man, that's a hard decision.
Best burger I've ever had and where was it from? It was interesting, at a Mexican food restaurant.
Really?
Huh. It was at the one that I was running, and a friend of mine, his name was Val, and we called it the Val Burger, and he was our cook back there, and he stuffed jalapenos and cheese. He did the Juicy Lucy, but he stuffed jalapenos in there and stuff, and like this thing was amazing. It was mostly because it was salty, but it was the best. Now, I think he has a food truck now. Kevin, as a matter of fact, he did. Yeah, his food truck was at one of my kids' events. And I was like, dude, this is awesome. And he was serving up the burger, too. He made me a Val Burger that day. I was so happy.
Oh, well.
But that one, I mean, I think we automatically just say Whataburger, our apologies. You're going to win every time. So we're going to have to, in order to have a conversation here, we're going to have to.
Be a really short segment.
Yeah, it's a short segment. We don't want to, but Whataburger is easily the best one out there. But that one, the Val Burger, was phenomenal.
I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about this and I'm trying to remember. I'm so bad at this because I think the place has since closed, but then it might have reopened and then it might have closed again. What was the spot in Richardson that had like you could get like an elk burger and like a bison burger, like all kinds of different animal burgers?
Hot Noddy?
No.
There's one of there's a place like this in Canton too that yeah. has a, that has a
and they had like elk burger. Fun names for their burgers and their milkshakes and stuff like that. Twisted Root. I always
they had one off of Deep Ellum.
Okay.
Motor Maple was another burger place too.
I think their burgers are just phenomenal. Although, and I don't want to circumvent the point of this to me, and people will probably get mad at my cheese opinion as well.
Oh no.
The burger right off the grill with the cold piece of cheese on it is the best.
Okay. All right, Kevin. I'm glad you brought this up.
Ooh.
Adrian gets mad at me when I don't put the cheese on the burger and have it melted. She's like, no, it needs to be melted. And I'm like, no, I like the cold cheese.
Me too.
Piece of cheese.
Like, I wouldn't,
it's going to melt anyway.
I wouldn't turn it away and be like, melted cheese, gross. I'm just, if I had my preference, it would be the cold piece of cheese after you've already done the burger. Go.
So the way that I responded, probably not appropriate.
Divorce?
Oh, not divorce. Obviously not for that. But I did take the plate of burgers that didn't have the cheese and just threw it up against the wall and said, you cook them yourself.
No, you did not. Because then she would say divorce.
Yes.
That is too much. That is too far.
I like to think that that actually happened. I can see that. It's like a movie scene. I love that. For me, it's amazing because I'm totally going to leave you on a cliffhanger. I don't know the name of the place, but awesome. It was...
must have been good.
Yeah, because it was in...
Look, I'm kidding. I obviously went through that with Twisted Roots.
It was in St. Augustine, Florida. So it's not easily accessible for any of us because we're sitting here in downtown Dallas. But it was actually on the coastline. It was just like a little shack that I don't even know if it had a name outside of the building. But we were like out in the sun all day, you know, we're all sunburnt and everything and just physically drained. And we're like, okay, we need to fuel up. We need to get some food. And we just went and we're like, what are we in the mood for? Okay, something that kind of has a little bit of everything. Like my dad wanted nachos. My sister wanted, you know, something else. I wanted a burger.
Yeah.
So we found something that had a little bit of everything. And I think my sister ended up getting like lobster mac and cheese. My dad got his nachos. I got a grilled cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And it was the best thing I've ever had in my life because they didn't overdo it. It was literally like a grilled cheese sandwich with two beef patties in the middle of it. They didn't add any kind of like fancy sauce or anything.
That does sound good.
But I think they had, I want to say it was like smoked Gouda cheese in it. So that was the maybe the fanciest part about it. But it was just like American cheese, cheddar cheese, and smoked Gouda. All three of those combined. And it was heavenly. It was the best burger I've ever had in my life.
I'm not going to lie. That obviously sounds amazing. I also want to read you this text, Alec, that I think you'll enjoy from the 817. Holy fart. I never heard anyone else besides myself in the world say they like cold cheese in a burger. Yeah, you can taste it better instead of it being melted all over the place and lost.
I'm amazed how, like, poignant this is for some people because I'll eat it either way. I don't mind the cold cheese. I don't mind the melted cheese. I think they're both good, and I think that it does make a difference.
Yes.
Like, I do think that it is a totally different flavor profile. It kind of does get lost in the shuffle when it's melted, but that's fine. The texture, I think, is better at that point, though. But the flavor is better when it's not super melted, so I'm fine with it either way. Like you said, Kevin, I'm not going to turn it away if
sure,
it's one way or the
for
other.
Sure.
But I didn't know people have such stark opinions on it. This is actually incredible.
Best burger from a place here is from Coach's Corner in Duncanville. All the food's good, by the way. So there's a Duncanville option for the Duncanvilleites. Villains.
Not sure about any of what
the Duncanville people, the City of Champions.
There you
Duncanville
go.
People might want to abort that one.
Burger Bar 1949 in Cleburne is a suggestion out there.
For half a second, though, did you kind of think that person was saying in 1949 they went to the Burger Bar and that was the best hamburger that they'd ever had in their life? Because that is immediately what I thought.
Yeah, I'm a victim to that. Sometimes phrasing gets me all the time. And I saw somebody put in a suggestion for one that was in Mansfield. This text line has blown up. I'm going to have to go find that and write that down. I saw somebody said Jake's Burgers on McKinney Avenue. I know it's like a chain place, but there are some of those chains. I will die on the hill that one location is better than all of the others.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I've heard that about Jake's. because I know, I don't remember who it was, if it somebody here, it might have been Kavanaugh, who was like, he swore that there was one Jake's location that was like the best and you had to go try that. And there's one literally 5 minutes from my house in Mansfield. So I'm like, why would I drive all the way out there for the same
thing? Well, there was one over off of off Garland Road is where it was. That's the one I think that he was talking about. And it was the best. Then what ended up happening, because Keller's was right down the road on Northwest Highway, I believe the family, because it's part of the Keller's, Jake's was the cousin of Keller's, I believe, and they ended up turning that one over in my old neighborhood into a Jack's, and so they just changed one letter, and I thought that was hilarious. Still the best burgers. Those were amazing.
From the 214, Jimmy's Burgers in Grand Prairie. From the 469, I've seen this come up a couple of times. Griff's Hamburgers, and then another person said specifically Griff's in Mesquite. You know what I always loved from Griff's was the chicken fried steak sandwich. I thought that was top notch from Griff's.
See, I'm seeing some Grand Prairie love in here too, which I love because I'm out in that area most of the time. Let's see, from the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line, 877-881-1053. Fat Burger from the 682.
That burger's good.
Let's see, Fred's Texas Cafe. There's two in Fort Worth.
Do you think people ever feel bad if their favorite burger is from like a chain? Like they feel like that's probably wrong, but there are some chains that make some damn good burgers.
I mean, you guys already talked about it. I'll die on the Whataburger Hill, you know, 7 days out of the week, every single time. But since it is a chain and since it is so popular, I take it out of the conversation because everybody would say that, because if you're a Texan, you should. But going back to my argument that one location is better than every single other location, the OG Whataburger in Corpus Christi is the best Whataburger, and it's two stories.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, double-decker Whataburger, and I swear, you can ask Nate Wood because he was there when I tried it. The best Whataburger I've ever had. It was quick. It was fresh. Something about it was just different. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the saltiness in the air from the water. I don't know. It was amazing. It was so good. And I was eating on the second floor of a Whataburger.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it was the drugs, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was definitely the salt. What I really like, every time people text in and say Plano, I feel like they're specifically sending it to me. So I really appreciate this.
Agreed.
Corey, go to the Peak Inn in Old East Dallas. If you don't like it, I'll pay for it. I need to go find out where this is. Because I'm looking at Ye Old Butcher Shop in Plano's one place. And now my buddy lives right next to the Peak Inn. So I think that one might be a place I need to sneak through. See what's up.
All right, guys. This bizarre piece of intel ruined my childhood. And it comes from a man named Ciro Santilli. He's an independent researcher. He's got a knack for rooting around the dusty corners of the web and the internet and all that stuff. And it was based after a 2022 investigation by Reuters called America's Throwaway Spies.
Okay.
That revealed a handful of suspicious internet domains back in 2022. And basically, they found a bunch of websites that were made with the same sequential IP addresses that got traced back to the CIA. And what they found was over 20 different websites that ranged from extreme sports blogs to comedy websites to even Brazilian music fan pages that were secret CIA operations for international spies to communicate with the CIA here in the United States.
What?
And one of these websites was a website I went to a lot as a kid.
I bet you did.
Because it was called Star Wars Beyond the Unknown. It was a Star Wars fan blog.
And it was run by them?
It was created by the CIA. And there was a secret passphrase that you could type into the search bar that would take you to a secret chat where spies
in
different countries would talk to the government. So it was a real website. You could actually go, there was blog posts. That's how, it's literally the website I would go to find the new toy releases whenever they were going to come out with the new like Clone Wars action figures. So I could tell my mom, hey, we need to go to Target this day. This is a real website that it doesn't exist anymore. But if you use like a Wayback Machine kind of thing, you can still go back to it. It was a real blog, but they found, because it was really stupidly coded and it came from similar IP addresses that got tracked back to the government, that these were ways to communicate with other people in other countries that were sending back intel. And obviously their cover got blown, so these websites don't exist anymore. But one of them was a Star Wars fan page.
StarWarsWeb.net.
That is
if
amazing.
If you type in StarWarsWeb.net right now, it goes to the CIA homepage.
Oh my, hold on. Type in
StarWarsWeb.net.
Web.net.
And it takes you to Central Intelligence Agency.
And there's a big thing on the splash page is, we are the nation's first line of defense.
Isn't that amazing?
What was the, what do you think the password for the Star Wars thing was? Like these games you will. Something like that. I don't know.
I want to know now, but there was a secret phrase you could put in the search bar and boom, you're chatting with spies.
I want to chat with spies.
Unbelievable. Man, that might have been an all-time edition of AM on the FM right there. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy, where Terry Bradshaw speaks for us all. Plus, the most vulnerable reigning division champions. Next on The Fan.
Play action for Stroud. Good protection. Loads it up. Fires downfield. Excellent touch. Perfectly delivered. Touchdown, Dalton Schultz. Stroud strikes again for 37 yards.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got a lot of ground to cover as we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Dip it, rip it.
And let's start with the most vulnerable division winners going into this season in terms of repeating. So you have like Buffalo, I don't feel like is particularly in danger. Some people might feel that way about the Chiefs. I kind of feel that way. I wonder about the Eagles because like you think they might be safe, but this division hasn't had a back-to-back winner in more than two decades. So I guess they're inherently in danger. Who is it for y'all?
Who's the division champion that's going down? Is that what you're asking?
That's
me?
That's right.
It's the Philadelphia Eagles. Oh. Mostly because of what you just said. Washington's going to win it this year. The Cowboys will finish close third. And, you know, maybe just close enough to get into that final playoff spot. Three out of one division is kind of like what we would all hope. But that's the one that just, because of the inconsistency at the top, I would say. And when you win a Super Bowl, unless you are the Chiefs, unless you have that mindset of we want to win seven, not, you know, hey, man, we were very fortunate to win one.
Yeah.
You know, we're built to win many. Like, that's another thing. Sometimes you have that year and the next year where you're just like, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what we got into.
Alec, who is it for you?
I'd say fill in the blank any season for the NFC South.
I think that's where I'm probably at, too.
Because it feels like no matter who, like, the Buccaneers, I think, are really good. But it feels like they could be one major injury away from being a four-win team.
Yeah.
You know, and you could say the same about the Falcons. You know, Michael Penix gets hurt, that's a four-win team.
Oh, because you got Kirk Cousins getting his job back.
Well, he still sucks. So, like, that's still a dilemma. So, yeah, and if... Of course, the Saints are the Saints. Don't got to talk about them. The Panthers feel like they're still far away.
How confident are you that Michael Penix is that much better than Kirk Cousins?
At this stage in Cousins' career, I'm pretty confident.
Okay.
I'm pretty confident. But if Kirk Cousins never snapped his Achilles, then this wouldn't be a conversation, yeah. I would feel like, because I think he was decent.
Yeah, you saw him last year.
Yeah.
Looking a little old.
Definitely.
The further he gets into that, the more he gets scared and does scary things.
And supposedly he keeps telling the Falcons like he wants to be a starter, and I'm sure they're like, hey, that's great. We paid you most of your money already in year one, and it didn't work out, so we're just going to keep you until it suits us to not keep you. We played a highlight of the Texans, but the AFC South is tough because who's coming up in that world? Is it the Titans, the Jags, the Colts? I guess maybe one of them.
What a boring division.
Yes. Is it the most boring division?
Yes. Well, I always want to say it's the Pittsburgh and Baltimore one because of the style of football.
Yeah.
But they opened things up when Joe Burrow showed up. And now Pittsburgh is like, hey, who cares about a quarterback? But that one, yeah, it was that one for a while. But this one, dude, this one, the Texans, I expected to do something.
Yeah.
And they weren't quite the same team.
They were fine.
The Colts are what they are.
Maybe Cam Ward will light it up.
I guess the NFC South's pretty boring, too.
Yes.
It is a pretty boring one, but yeah. The West is a coin flip, isn't it?
For the NFC?
Isn't that like a real coin flip?
Do you think it's between the Rams and Seahawks, and do you think the Niners are done? Or
I don't think the Niners are done.
Oh, okay.
I think that they're done being the one that kind of rolls in and goes, we're the bad boys around here. But I think that I don't know what the Seahawks are this year. I'm very curious as to what that team is going to look like without Geno now, and how they're going to be built and constructed as John Schneider puts that thing together.
Now
Lions are going down.
Oh, to the
Packers.
You know what? Ooh, I got an overreaction of reality for you tomorrow.
You think it's the Bears?
Now you mentioned the Bengals a minute ago. I love this from Ja'Marr Chase. Have you seen his suggestion?
No.
To avoid another slow start, maybe the Bengals starters need to play in the preseason.
Oh, what a novel idea.
Do you think anyone...
Football players playing football to get ready to play football.
So it sounds like you're in favor of this decision.
It's ridiculous that these guys are like, no, I'm sure we're going to be okay for real football by just going out there and doing non-padded practices most of the time.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous that, hey, our starters, we know what they're made of. We know exactly what they are. If they're champions and you feel that way, then yes. If they're not champions, then they got work to do and to grow. Again, you're going to lose somebody. They're going to get injured. It's going to happen. And that's the risk. But, man, if you need to be in better, just a couple series
yeah.
to get the juices flowing.
Yeah. Now, let's go from that to Terry Bradshaw, who normally I'm not the world's biggest Terry Bradshaw fan, but this is a great quote, though I'll argue not the best quote you'll hear all day. Terry Bradshaw about Aaron Rodgers coming to the Steelers. That's a joke. That to me is just a joke. What are you going to do? Bring him in for 1 year? Are you kidding me? That guy needs to stay in California, go somewhere and chew on bark and whisper to the gods out there.
I love that.
It's the S that he added to God, to the gods out there.
Well, that's what he... I mean,
oh, no, I know.
Right when you do the...
Makes him think like he's the ultimate warrior and he's just like pushing his hands up to the gods to help him decide to play football.
I love the line of go chew on bark. Like, go kick rocks is always one that I'm like, who says that? But chew on bark, that's new. I love it.
Go chew on some bark.
But I guess that is kind of the idea with the peyote, whatever he's doing, ashwagandha, or I don't know.
I am not sure either.
Chewing on some bark.
Travis Hunter, they said, is not going to practice on both sides of the ball on the same day during OTAs. And so they'll rotate him practicing, which, you know, I kind of see that.
Did my eyes deceive me, or did Tyreek Hill say he's going to be booty? Did anybody else see this? Oh. Tyreek Hill did say this?
It happened.
And he didn't say booty. He said the A word.
He said he was going to be ass.
Kevin, you know what you call a donkey in the Bible?
Yeah, an ass.
Mm-hmm.
If it's in the Bible.
Then you can say it in church.
Ooh, I did not know how accepting people are of that.
But yeah, no, evidently that's what Tyreek Hill was like. Yeah, he's going to be ass.
And wow.
I'm like, I got to go find the rest of that quote to know like what he was talking about, but now I want to see them match up on each other.
Okay.
That's the matchup I'm looking forward to the most.
All right.
Name a matchup.
No, that one.
All right. There you go.
That one's the most. Because do you usually hope that the person who didn't say anything is the person who wins? Yeah, like they just got drawn into this conflict.
I just got married. I haven't even played in an NFL game yet. I got all these other things going on, and you are sitting here calling me out. Cannot wait to see you.
All right, let's hear from Tyreek just to hammer home that this actually did happen.
Yo, Tyreek, what do you think about Travis Hunter?
He gonna be ass.
All right. It was a good one-liner then is exactly what it was.
Was that from TMZ? That feels like a TMZ conversation,
TMZ
like
moment.
Just on the street right there. All right. I saw this from NFL.com. Teams under the microscope the most 100 days out from kickoff. Now it's 99 days, but you get the idea. All right. Team that most needs to reduce the drama, the Cowboy. New York Jets. Oh. Okay, look. The answer to most of these could probably be the Cowboys. In fact, you know what? Let's give the real answers along the way, but I want you to decide if you think the Cowboys could be the answer to this one, okay? Teams that most need to reduce the drama, it's the Jets.
Okay.
But that feels like one for one. Team that most needs to show improvement.
Another New York team, probably?
Yes, the Giants. Stink. Once again, it feels like we're two for
two.
The
Cowboys need to show some improvement.
Okay.
Not the most improvement.
Most needs to solve their quarterback situation. Look, you might
There's
not like it.
Teams.
I might not like it, but the Cowboys have solved their quarterback situation. We just have to deal with it.
Hold on, what do you mean they've solved it?
They signed Dak.
That's not solving it.
Is it not?
No.
That contract's just starting.
Okay, but that's not solve. Did it solve it?
In their mind, yes.
Okay.
It did.
I'm asking you, Kevin.
Hell no.
Okay. What it did was it put a Band-Aid on it until they find the next one.
You know, I always think it's weird, and I saw you responded to this person, when anybody quarterback gets brought up and they're like, you guys are so dumb, Dak's not that good. Like, what part of that segment did you hear us even mention Dak, let alone say that he's like a top five quarterback in the league or anything like that?
I wasn't arguing that. I was just talking about him specifically.
The answer is the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah. What's going on there? Dylan Gabriel, your starter?
I don't know how that's going to shake out.
Joe Flacco? Shadur?
I don't think it's going to be Shadur, but you
Why
know
not?
What?
He was a starting quarterback in college.
He wasn't even the first quarterback they took in the draft.
But that was the first one they wanted. They just couldn't get him that first time.
What?
It's pretty obvious. That's what I would say. Oh, that's what I would totally say. I would be like,
dude, that make any
things
sense?
Just didn't line up for us to get him in the third round. So we had to wait until later. What do you guys mean? Oh, man, it's just the way this draft is, you know?
All right. Most needs.
But we're glad we got our guy.
Most needs to make the playoffs, the Bengals. Most needs to win a Super Bowl, the Bills. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's puck around and find out back to game four. And do you think the Stars can actually piece together an actual full excellent game?
Yes.
Do you?
I don't know.
Next on The Fan.